Israel and Judah, Chapter 36. The Temple Repaired, 1898. When Jehoshaphat died, Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. He had been associated with his father on the throne for 4 years, and his reign extended over another 4. As Jezebel had been a curse to the kingdom of Israel, so her daughter, Athaliah, the wife of Jehoram, was a curse to Judah. Under her influence Jehoram became like Ahab. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. His first proceeding, after his father's death, was to slay all his brethren, and divers also of the princes of Israel, the way of transgression. This precautionary measure did not, however, strengthen his hold upon the kingdom. Nations which had given allegiance to his father now broke away. The Philistines and the Arabians, who had acknowledged that God was with Judah and had brought presents and tribute to Jehoshaphat, now turned against Jehoram as he departed from the Lord. And they came up into Judah, and broke into it, and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives. Only the youngest son was left. 2 years after the beginning of his sole reign, Jehoram was smitten with an incurable disease, and after another 2 years of horrible suffering, he died, and was buried without royal honors. He departed without being desired. An evil taint. The youngest son of Jehoram was named Ahaziah. He was the only one who had been spared by the Arabians. At the age of 42 he came to the throne, but only reigned 1 year. His life also was overshadowed by his mother's fatal influence, and to her he owed its early termination, for while visiting his relative the king of Israel, Jehu slew him in obedience to the command of the Lord to utterly destroy the seed of Ahab and Jezebel. Another Jezebel. As soon as Athaliah learned that her only son was dead, she slew all his sons and took the kingdom herself. One, however, of Ahaziah's children, the newborn Josh, was concealed by his aunt, the wife of Jehoiada the priest. Under their care he was preserved for 6 years, and at the end of that time Jehoiada was able to organize a movement which set Josh on the throne and slew Athaliah. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet. After that they had slain Athaliah with the sword, sowing and reaping. The influence of this one wicked woman had been powerful for evil. Had Judah been faithful to God, the people might have withstood Athaliah's attempt to introduce and establish the worship of Baal. But the spirit which viewed with indifference a union between the servant of God and a worshipper of idols was well adapted to foster and strengthen a false religion, which appealed to desires for sensual indulgence, and gave its devotees unbridled license to follow the dictates of their corrupted hearts. Nothing small. It does not do to think lightly of sin. The fault for which we excuse ourselves may be a slight one, but it is a seed which can develop to undreamed of proportions. To Jehoshaphat it may have seemed unlikely that any harm would come of his permitting a friendship between his son and the youthful daughter of Ahab. Doubtless Jehoram, which means Jehovah is high, had been carefully trained by his pious father, and instructed in the knowledge of the true God, and Jehoshaphat could not think that these defensive barriers would fail to protect his son against Athaliah's tendencies towards idolatry. Yet within 2 years from his own death, the temple of God had been broken up to furnish material for the house of Baal. All the things dedicated to God's service had been bestowed upon Balaam, and Jehoram, the son of a godly father, had slain his own brethren and his father's friends. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, and compelled Judah thereto. His career is a solemn warning to parents to make no compromise with sin, in their dealings with their children, and to guard them as long as possible from all willing contact with evil, however fascinating and comparatively harmless it may now appear to be. Restoring the temple. In the days of Josh, in consequence of the depredations committed by Athaliah, the temple was in great need of restoration, and the king was minded to repair it. He accordingly instructed the priests and the Levites to go out into the cities of Judah and gather money from the people for this purpose. The temple had been an asylum for Josh during the first 6 years of his life, while hidden from Athaliah, and he desired to see it rescued from its dilapidated condition. He commanded that the business should receive immediate attention, and that the work of repair should be hastened forward. After some years, however, it was found that the work was not making much progress, and the king sent for his uncle, Jehoiada the priest, to inquire into the delay. A contribution box. A new plan was then decided upon. At the king's commandment they made a chest, and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. Then proclamation was made that all the people should come to the temple, and bring the offering that Moses had directed, for the service of the tabernacle. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced, and brought in, and cast into the chest. When the box was filled, the priests opened it, and counted the money, then replaced the chest. Thus they did day by day, and gathered money in abundance. With the funds collected in this way the builders were paid. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them. How to give? The scriptural rule for giving is, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. God loves a cheerful giver. He does not value an offering that is given with reluctance, and count it a matter of hardship. This have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regards not the offering any more, or receives it with goodwill at your hands. Even though a man bestow all his goods to feed the poor, except love prompt the gift, it is a worthless and profitable offering. When the thought in giving is to attract attention to the generosity of the giver, and cause him to be well spoken of, God does not count the offering as made to himself. Such a payment is either offered nor accepted as a free gift. It is a business transaction. The donor desires to purchase so much of standing, influence and fame, and gives what he thinks will acquire the desired advantages. They have their reward. There is nothing further for them, as the world gives. It is rare to find a body now, professing to be the servants of God, which is content to rely upon the simplicity of giving. Bazaars and entertainments are needed to extract money from the pockets of those who are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Such efforts are not always successful in raising the desired funds, but when they are, it is not the love of God that has provided the means. An equivalent has been received by the purchasers of amusement. They have their reward. How much better is God's way? Every gift, given with simplicity and grateful acknowledgement to God, is another link to connect us with Him. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God knows how to acknowledge to every cheerful giver the receipt of His offering, and does it in a way that, in itself, is worth more than the gift. The charge of robbery is made by God against all who withhold from Him the tithes and offerings which are His due, but to all who render these cheerfully a glorious promise is given. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. E.J. Wagoner.